stop the other son.
Ah, okay. Can't go
the youngest.
More.
Youngest boy.
Okay. There you go. Torreway, Northwest London, Monday, Yud Tesh Shvat, the 1st of February. Today's Shia has been sponsored by Family Blachman, Leah Nishmas Sororoiza Bas Reb Binyamin Akoin, Olea Shalom, and this week's Shurim have been sponsored by Family Moravieki, Leah Nishmas Moros Chava Bas Reb Moshe Mordechai, Olea Shalom. Today's speaker is Rabbi Avi Adler Shlita. Subject: Shabbos, unintended consequences.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for coming. The shayla I want to discuss today is a Hilchos Shabbos related shayla. You might have worked out the connection to the parasha. We have in this week's sedra we have the Aseret HaDibros, number 4 of which is Zocher Simchas Shabbos LeKatrei. So I recently had the opportunity to get involved in a bit of a shayla on Hilchos Shabbos, a very classic shayla, a shayla which is probably nageya all over Golders Green, probably for most people in Golders Green probably come across this shayla every so often. And it's a shayla which just gave me the opportunity to chaz over a bit the yesodos of Hilchos Shabbos. So let me share with you the story, and we'll work through the shayla a bit. I do want to give a disclaimer at the beginning that the topic, there's different aspects to the topic, there's different rabbanim have different ways of looking at it, and I just want to zoom in on one particular aspect, so halacha l'maisa, rather if they contact the Rav. The story started for me a couple of weeks ago. I lived down on Hamilton Road, and we had a new Goyish neighbour who moved in next door. And as they very often do, after a couple of weeks, he installed an automatic light in his front garden. He walks past, right? When you get, as soon as you walk past the front garden, the light switches on. Now, the story gets a bit more complicated. It's got a twist, which we'll get to in a minute. But just to begin, the classic way of looking at such a question would be that we would call it a davar she'eino mustaven, which means that when I walk past his house, again, I'm not being mechaven. I have got no kavanah, no intention to turn on his light. I just want to walk past the house. But what's going to happen as soon as you walk past is that the light goes on. So davar she'eino mustaven, when you do something, davar she'eino mustaven, which basically means if you're doing one action, action A, and as a consequence of action A, B occurs, right? A second thing occurs. So you have no kavanah for B, your kavanah is only A. So that's called a davar she'eino mustaven. Davar she'eino mustaven is a machlokes throughout Shas, not only in Hilchos Shabbos. The classic case, the most famous case, is maybe the Hilchos Shabbos case of someone who's dragging a bench, Adam Goyra, Kisei, Mitav, Safsal. Someone drags a bench over an earthen surface, and by dragging the bench, it may cause a charitz, a furrow, to be dug in the earth. His intention is not for the furrow; he doesn't want to dig any furrow, but he just wants to drag his bench. So that's called a davar she'eino mustaven. Rav Yehuda says that you are chayav; it's also Rav Shimon says that you are potter. So Rav Shimon holds davar she'eino mustaven potter, which is how we paskin. And it's not just the Hilchos Shabbos shayla. So it comes up all over Shas. It pops up, for example, a nozir. The Gemara talks about a nozir is not allowed to cut his hair. So is he allowed to comb his beard? So Rav Shimon says he's allowed to, because even though he knows that when he combs his beard, he may pull out some hairs, but that would be a davar she'eino mustaven. He doesn't intend to pull out hairs, he just intends to comb his beard. So Rav Shimon says that's fine, and Rav Yehuda will say that is also. Another case the Gemara talks about is Mezal Finyayin al Gabay Ha'ishim. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to, this halacha, you're not allowed to put out the fire on the Mizbeach. And you're not even allowed to put out just a part of the fire. So when they used to pour wine on the Mizbeach, so Shimon says that you could pour it tipos, the Gemara says tipos, dafka is very small drops, because very small drops, he said, won't dafka put out the fire, it may put out some of the fire, but even though it may put out some of the fire, says of Shimon, you are Eino Mechaven. You're not trying to put out the fire, it's not your intention to put out the fire, and therefore, says Rav Shimon, that's okay. And Rav Yehuda, it's the same machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda says that it's not okay, because Rav Yehuda holds that davar she'eino mustaven is asa, and Rav Shimon holds it's potter, and we paskin like Rav Shimon. However, the Gemara does say that moider Rav Shimon, b'psik resha. So even though if you do something without intention, you're doing action A, action B happens without your intention, says Rav Shimon, that's okay, you're not chai for that. However, if the second, the B, is an inevitable result, if it's definitely going to happen, for example, if you drag a very heavy bench over the earthen surface, so now, when you drag that very heavy bench, it's not that it may cause a furrow to be dug. It's definitely going to cause the furrow to be dug. So that's called a psik resha. The word psik resha literally means if you cut off the head of a chicken, then you can't say, I just wanted to cut off the head, but I didn't intend to kill the chicken, because when you cut off the head of the chicken will definitely die. So it's a result which is definitely going to occur. So if it's an inevitable result, it's definitely going to occur the result. So then even Rav Shimon, who says that Dovash Ein Nistav is Chata, if it's psik resha, you are Chav. Coming back to my story, right? So, l'chera, we would say that it's a, on the one hand, it's a davar she'ein miskaven, right? I might say it's potter because it's a davar she'ein miskaven, because when I walk past the house, I have no intention to turn on the light. All I want to do is go for a walk. But I'm turning on the light, it's a davar she'ein miskaven. But you would say back to me, okay, it might be a davar she'ein miskaven, but it's a psik resha, because when you walk past the house, every time you walk past the house, the light's definitely going to go on. There's an automatic sensor which is going to sense your movement and the light is going to go on. And therefore, because it's a psik resha, even Rav Shimon will be passing like Rav Shimon, but nevertheless, it will still be awesome because it's an inevitable consequence of you walking past the house. Therefore, it's a psik resha.
Right,
you get to Nichlei, so the rabbi here, the back is referring to a Tosfos in Ksuvos. Tosfos in Ksuvos brings a Machlokes Rishonim. He says, if you don't want the light to go on, if it's loy nichele, so it could be that even if it's a psik resha, you would still be potter. But he's saying that you do want the light, right? It lights up the road for you, and it's nichele. Okay.
Take a step back. What's the melacha that you're doing? By walking past and indirectly causing a light.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I'm zooming in on this particular aspect. You're right. Most rabbonim, I think, are makel. To do with chesmenis, like you're saying, so near the rabbanon, anyway, turning on the light, come to most shittas, and it's near groma. So many rabbanon are mekel lemaisa. But I just want to zoom on this particular aspect, just to use the opportunity to zoom in on this particular aspect of the psik resha aspect over here of this shayla. But 100%, yeah, it's really different to chesmenis. It's definitely b'machmat chak. I believe that most rabbanon are for sure
mekel. Like you said, nichle or loy nichle, depends when is where. If it's Masi, you managed for the past years
correct,
to go by
correct,
no problem.
Correct.
But if it's being closed stairwell, for example, where there's no windows, and you manage to now, and Masi is nichele if it comes
I
know,
but he
managed to now.
You can finish it. I'll tell you, even though I'm saying most of what I'm making, I do remember when I lived in Yerushalayim, I did have a neighbor who was very machmi. He had, the way the buildings worked was that when he went out onto his porch, he switched on, there was a not from neighbor there who had also a light in a sensor. When he walked out onto his porch, the not from neighbor's light used to go on. So what he did was he clipped, he worked out that it's the sensor was sensitive to movement, so he clipped a fan onto his porch railings, and the movement of the fan kept the light on the whole time. I'm not sure how happy the neighbor was about it. But okay, so here there was a twist in the story. It wasn't just a regular situation. I'm explaining why not. The twist was that I noticed, my kids actually noticed after a couple of weeks, that this light was interesting. Sometimes, some nights, during the week, some nights you walked past and the light went on. And other nights it didn't go on. So I actually approached the neighbours, a friendly chap, so I asked him why his light sometimes does go on, sometimes it doesn't go on. So he told me it's very simple. He told me in the winter when it gets dark at 4 o'clock, and he finds it very frustrating, very annoying, that between 4 and 8, when the road is still very busy, that the light's going on every 2 minutes. So every morning he switches the sensor off. And at 8 o'clock, if he remembers, he flips the switch, right, the sensor goes back on, and it only goes on from 8 o'clock. He said very often he forgets, right? He said if he remembers to turn it on at 8 o'clock, then it's on, and very often he forgets and it just stays off the whole night. So now the question is this still a psik resha? Because I think there's two ways of looking at it. You can either say, but there's no psik resha anymore because you don't know whether the light's going to go on, right? It could be, right, very often he forgets to flip the switch, so the light may not go on when you go out. On the other hand, the other way to look at it would be that it's not like a regular psik resha. A regular psik resha is that you don't know what's going to happen when you drag your bench, for example. You don't know if the bench is going to cause a hole to be dug or not. Now, that's very good to the bench. Here, it's different because here, it's not that you don't know something in the future. It's you don't know what happened in the past. If the guy did flip the switch, then the light's definitely going to go on when I walk out the door. If he didn't, it won't go on. So is that still called a psik resha, or is that not called a psik.
The malacha only comes into effect. That's the one that has guaranteed an inevitable outcome. Otherwise, there's no malacha happening.
Right,
if
and therefore.
You're doing malacha, there's definitely guaranteed an inevitable.
So you hold that in this case, is it psik ratio or not psik ratio? In this
it
case,
is.
It is
otherwise,
a psik.
Otherwise, there's no malacha to talk about.
Right, but
when the malacha happens,
but you can't tell me it's 100% inevitable because it could be that the guy forgot to flip the switch.
There's no malacha there. There's no malacha there. You haven't done any action. Whenever you're doing that action that you're worried about, it's an inevitable outcome.
Yeah.
Okay, but so here,
even going through the days where you did switch it on, so you walk in first time, the question thing, you go out next time when you want to go out, then you're back to
right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, okay. But so I'll tell you what, it's very, very interesting. There's a Ramah in a different part of Halakha, there's a Ramah near there. And we know there's a lav, you're not allowed to cook basal b'chalav, you're not allowed to cook meat and milk. Besides for not being able to eat meat and milk, you're also not allowed to cook meat and milk together. So the Ramah, I think to understand the Ramah, I think you have to go back in time a bit to the old shtetlach in Europe, where it sounds like they used to have these big communal ovens, and anyone, maybe if you couldn't afford to have an oven at home, so the poor people or travellers who were passing through the town, they would bring their pots to the communal oven, centre of town, and they would heat up their food in the public oven. The bakers, yeah. So the Ramah's got a chumrah. Ramah says that if you have goyim in the town who are also bringing their pots there, says the Ramah, you shouldn't heat up, you shouldn't raise the flame in this oven. You can come and put your food in it, but you shouldn't raise the flame in the oven. Why not?
You can't put your food in it.
You can put your food in it, he says. Again, it was clear that the guy weren't cooking actual meat and milk in the oven. That seemed to be the rule. There was no actual basal b'chalav being cooked in the oven. The guy were bringing their pots of vegetables or potatoes, and you're bringing your pot of potatoes. Says the Ramah, nevertheless, you shouldn't raise the flame in the oven. And the Ramah says, why not? So he says, because it could be, possibly, right, the goyish pot, right, the goy, when he brings his pot, it could be that the goy used the pot earlier on during the day to cook basal b'chalav, to cook meat and milk. And therefore, in the walls of the pot, you still have what we call the blias of the basal b'chalav. And when you come and you raise the flames, even though your intention is just to cook your own food, but when you raise the flame in this oven, you'll be cooking as well the meat and milk, which is in the walls of the pot, of the goy's pot. An equivalent case to Chora nowadays, again it might be slightly different, because you're off, but a similar case to the Ramah, an equivalent case would be if someone's in a hotel, for example, and he wants to heat up his food. So I think it's quite common, you double wrap your food and you put it, I mean in the microwave I think it would definitely be okay, because I don't think we'd be saying there's no cooking of the blias going on in the walls of a microwave. But let's say you want to put it in the hotel's oven, and they give you the keys to the kitchen, right? You can turn on the oven yourself. So according to the Ramah, you would have a chumrah not to turn on the oven, because it could be that there's basal b'chalav in the walls of the oven. And therefore, says the Ramah, even though your intention is purely only to cook your own food, but says the Ramah, it's a psik ratio. At the same time, yeah, there's a definite consequence. Again, if the guy cooked basal b'chalav in the oven that day, then it will be a definite consequence of you raising the flame on that oven, or you raising the heat on that oven, that you're also going to be cooking the basal b'chalav of the goy. That's what the Ramah says in Yerideo. And Rabbi Kivega is very interesting. He says we have to find the kun. He says we can't be machmir. He says it's kemat iyashu d'zahar over the rochim in this. He says if you're going to be machmir, I'm not letting people use the communal ovens of this goy shapasa. He says the travelers won't manage. So we have to find. Says Rabbi Kivega, we have to find a kun. So Kivega says, I found a taz. He says, I found a taz. The taz talks about bugs, right? He says, if you're in a place where there's lots of bugs, and we know on Shabbos, right, you're not allowed to trap animals, right? You're not allowed to trap flies, you're not allowed to trap bugs. So you have a small drawer, small box, and you want to close your box. But there's lots of bugs around, and there may be bugs in the box. As I was reading recently, I don't really appreciate this shiloh, we don't live with bugs. I was reading recently an article by a kashrus mashkiach. He said he was in India, I don't remember the name of the village where he was. And he said that he walked into the hotel and his bed was covered with bugs. The sheets were covered with bugs. He says it was so bad that he went down to the reception, asked them to change the sheets. He said it didn't help him. He said 5 minutes later, the whole bed is covered in bugs, and he never went back. He's not going back to these areas. And there's bugs all over the place. So you're in such a place where there's bugs all over, and there may be bugs in your little box. There may not be bugs in your little box. Now, if there is a bug in your box, then when you close the box, you'll be trapping the bugs, and it'll be, even though that's not intended, you just want to close the door. You don't want to trap bugs. But so again, it might be a double shayna miskaven. You have no kavana, no intention to catch the bugs. But it's going to be a secretion, because if there's bugs in the box, when you close the box, you're going to be trapping that bug. And therefore, the shayla is: are you allowed to close your drawers or your little box on Shabbos? Says the Taz, there's no problem. Because says the Taz again, there may not be bugs in the box. Says the Taz. So it says the Taz, even though it's true that if there is a bug in the box, then it's going to be secretion when you close it, that you're going to trap this bug. But because there may not be any bugs in the box in the first place, therefore, there's no problem. That's not called a psik ratio. Says Rabbi Kibbeh, that lechera we have here, he wants to set up, we have here a machlikis taz and the ramah. The ramah says that you're not allowed to turn on an oven when it's got a geisha pot in it, or you'll turn up the stove when it's got a geisha pot on the stove, because that's a psik ratio. Why is that called a psik ratio? Because it may be that the guy cooked basa b'chalav earlier on in his pot. So even though at the end of the day you're not sure whether there's basa b'chalav on this fire, but because if there is basa b'chalav, it's a psik resha. So the Ramah holds, the Kivega's terminology is that a psik resha l'sha'avais is a psik resha which is based on something which happened in the past. It's also called a psik resha. So for example, taking that to our case, right? If you have you want to walk down the road, it's a psik resha. You're worried about turning on the light, right? Or this goes this goes automatic sensor. So, according to this, that we're saying that it could be the guy didn't switch on the switch, but because if the guy did flip on the switch, therefore it's a definite result of your action that the light is going to go on. So therefore, says Kivega, the Ramah would say that that's also a psik resha l'sha'avais. So even though at the end of the day it's only a sofik, you're not sure whether the guy's flipped the switch, but because if the guy did flip the switch, therefore the light's definitely going to go on. So the Ramah would say that is definitely called the psik resha, and it's also, that's just like saying that you're not sure whether the guy cooked basa b'chalav in his pot. But if you did cook basa b'chalav in this pot, then it's psik resha for you to raise the flame. And the Ramah says, that's also. So psik resha l'sha'ava, psik resha, which is only a psik resha because it could be the guy who cooked the switch, it could be the guy who cooked basa b'chalav, that's also according to the Ramah. However, says the Kivega, according to the Taz, who says that you're allowed to close the box with the bag inside because there may not be bag inside, that's also the same shayla. If there's bugs inside, it's a psik resha to close the box. If there's no bugs, there's no psik resha. Says the Taz, that's muta. So says the Kivega, we have a machlokus between the Ramah and the Taz. In the case of a psik resha l'sha'ava, psik resha, or some people call it a suffix psik resha, you have a suffix whether it's a psik resha based on something in the past, according to the Ramah, that is asa, according to the Taz, that is muta. And says the Kivega, for his travelers, b'mach matrak, at least, they can be mekel, they can rely on the Taz. Just to understand, for a minute, what is the Taka the Machlokes? I mean, it could ask the question either like this and say, why is it, right? What is Taka the difference between a Sofik, right? Normally we say a Dovah Shei Miskaven, if it's not Psik Resha, right? A regular Dovah Shei Miskaven, you don't know whether B is going to happen when you do A, so that's okay, so that's Mutter. Why is it that when the Sofik is, right, or based on something which happened in the past, then we're saying that according to Ramah, it's also, what's Taka the difference between a Sofik in the future and a Sofik in the past? Right, we said when you drag your bench, you have a suffix whether it's going to make a hole, whether it's going to make a fire. We said that's mutter. So why is it that over here, at the end of the day, you still only have a suffix? You don't know whether the guy flipped the switch. It's true, if the guy did flip the switch, it's definitely going to go on the light. But what's the longest, what's tacking the difference between whether the suffix is in the future or whether the suffix is in the past? So there's a beautiful stickle from Reb Shmuel Rozovsky in Chedosh Reb Shmuel. This is a Sheikh Lali in the beginning of Maseches Ksuos. And he explains the shayla in a beautiful way. This goes to the heart of the understanding of the halacha of Dovah She'im Iskavin. Again, we said the Dovah She'im Iskavin is potter, right? You do action A, there's a consequence, action B. You didn't have intention for that consequence, so you are potter. However, if that consequence is definitely going to happen, we said that's psik resha and it's asus. So it explains it more beautifully. He says there's two ways of understanding the sugya. He says you can either understand, right? He says that the Dovah She'im Iskavin is potter because you didn't have kavana. So as you didn't have kavana, you're potter. However, if you know for sure that when you do something, when you pull your bench, for sure the hole is going to come, Then he said, that's ridiculous to say that you didn't have kavana for the whole. You can't say, you can't chop off the head of a chicken and say, I didn't have intention to kill it. You did. If you wanted to chop off the head, that means the knowledge that you have in your mind, that you know that when you chop off the head, the chicken is going to die, that means that you have intention for the chicken to die as well. So that's one way of understanding why Psik Risha, even though Dovashay Miskavan is Potter, Psik Risha is Potter, not a Dovashay Miskavan anymore. Once it's Psik Risha, you for sure did have Kavana, and therefore that's one way of understanding why
Psik Risha is Potter. Usually you forget about it, you just passed that. Then you remember it.
The chicken's head, don't forget it's going to die.
No,
That's one way of understanding. That's one way of understanding Psik Risha. He says there's another way of understanding. He says, which is that look, for sure you can say even you chop off the head of the chicken. You can say I only wanted to chop off the head. I didn't want to kill it. I didn't have kavana for it. However, even though it's a dovshein miskavon, could be that says Shmuel, could be that if it's a Psik Risha, you're still going to be chayv. Why? Because even though it's a dovshein miskavon. Right, you didn't have intention. But he says, why is Dovashay Miskavan Potter? Could be not just because you didn't have Kavana. That's not enough to make you Potter. The reason why Dovashay Miskavan is Potter, says, for example, when you drag your bench and it digs a hole, so you can split the two actions. In other words, you only chayav on Shabbos if you do a Maisa, right? You have to do the Maisa to make you over. Here, you can say that the Maisa that I did was just a Maisa of dragging the bench. I didn't do a Maisa of digging a hole. It's true that the digging of a hole happens as a result of my Maisa. But that digging of a hole, we're not going to look at, we're not going to define it as being your maisa. Your maisa is a maisa of dragging the bench, not the maisa of digging a hole. And that's why Shimon says, when you drag a bench and that causes a hole to be dug, you're going to be potter, because we only look at your maisa as being your main maisa. Your main maisa was dragging the bench. It was just an unintentional consequence. There was another maisa happened of a hole being dug. But that's not your maisa. Your maisa is only the maisa of dragging the bench. That's why, that's another understanding why Dovah Shem is covered as potter.
And when you kill the chicken?
Oh, says Shmuel that when you kill a chicken, right, you can't split the two things. You can't say your maisa was just a maisa of chopping off the head of the chicken and your maisa wasn't a maisa of killing the chicken. Because killing the chicken and chopping off its head is one maisa. So as soon as it's one maisa, then it doesn't have, you didn't have kavana for the result.
Even when you know the maisa, when you pull your chair, you also know that you make the hole.
No, again, if you know, if it's a very heavy chair and you know it's going to dig a hole, then you're right. That would also be called a Psik Risha. That's one maisa. It's only if you're not sure if it may dig a hole, it may not dig a hole, then you can split the two things and say my maisa was just a maisa of dragging the bench, not a maisa of digging a hole. So it's two different ways to summarize these two ways. The two ways of understanding why Psik Risha is chayav is either because a Dovashay Miskavan is Potter, and when it's a Psik Risha, then you are a Mechavig, because you know it's going to happen, so you can't say I didn't have Kavana for it. You did have Kavana, right? It's ridiculous, you did have Kavana for it. That's one way of understanding Psik Risha. The other way of understanding Psik Risha is to say, no, it's true, maybe you didn't have Kavana for the resulting action, but the reason why you're Potter always for a Dovashay Miskavan is because it's not your Maisa, and as soon as it's a Psik Risha, that is your Maisa.
According to the first way, how do you differentiate between Nicha and Loinicha?
Oh, very good, very good, very good. So I'll tell you what, it's true that we're going to go into this, but I'll just mention it quickly. If you're mentioning it, Takara B'chana Vassanon also brings the same Chekira, and he says the Machlokes Rishonim of what you're talking about, when you have a Psik Risha, so you have an inevitable consequence, right? And there's a Machlokes Rishonim, whether if you don't want, if it's Loi Nichele, you don't want that consequence, I still over. So Rabbi Chanan actually says it's Toila on this Shadow, which we just mentioned. You know what, let me start off with our Shadow, and we'll get to what we're talking about in a minute. He says, Shmuel explains that this. He says, if you understand that the lomdus of Psik Risha is because if something is inevitably going to happen, then it's definitely going to be the result. Therefore, it means that you had kavana for it. If that's the lomdus of Psik Risha. So that depends on what you know is for sure going to happen. So if you know that for sure something's going to happen, so then you can't say you didn't have kavana for it. Says Reb Shmuel, if so, let's go to our case of flipping this switch. When you walk out the front door, or you walk past this neighbor's house, if you don't know whether the light is going to go on, right? So then you can say that you are mechavin. Because at the end of the day, as long as you don't know whether the light's going to go on or not, you can say, I wasn't mechavin for the light to go on, and you're going to be potter. Whereas, if the longness of Psik Risha is not because Psik Risha makes you a mechavin. What Psik Risha does, Psik Risha tells you that even though you're not mechavin, but because it's part of your action, it's all one action, therefore it's part of your action, and that's why you're chayiv. So therefore, if you are not sure whether the guy flipped the switch, right, for example, says a small thing about different. He says, if the guy did flip the switch, then when you walk out your front door, then your myself walking out your front door is turning on his leg. Because at the end of the day, if he did, you might not know whether he flipped the switch, but your knowledge of whether he flipped the switch or not doesn't change the definition of your maisa. The definition of your maisa is totally on the reality. If the reality is that he did flip the switch, then your maisa is now a maisa walking past his front door that is a maisa of turning on his light. And therefore, says the Mishnah, it depends. If you look at the creatures being a long distance maisa, is it your maisa? Is it not your maisa? If it's a result which is definitely going to happen, it is your maisa. So that doesn't make a difference whether you know whether he flipped the switch. Your knowledge of whether he flipped the switch or not doesn't change the definition of your maisa. Maisa matola on the reality. If the reality is that he did flip the switch, then you're doing a maisa of turning on the light, and therefore it's still going to be a psik resha, and it's going to be osa. If, however, the longus of psik resha is not tola on what your maisa is, the longus of psik resha is trying to tell you that you had kavana because you knew it's going to happen, therefore you had kavana, so then we have to look at, did you know it's going to happen, or did you not know it's going to happen? And as long as you're not sure whether the light's going to go on, because you don't know whether the guy flipped the switch or not, so it will remain a double shayna miskavim, because at the end of the day, you don't know whether the light's going to go on or not, and therefore, according to that longus, you'll still be potter. And that is what we can make experience. That is the machlokes, the Taz, who holds that a psik resha, a sha'ava, a sofa psik resha, is not a psik resha, because he understood that psik resha has to be that becomes your kavana, because you know it's going to happen, therefore that becomes your kavana. And if that's the longus, so as soon as you don't know, then it's not a psik resha, you're going to be potter. The Ramah holds you're not allowed to raise the flame on the guy's part, is because he understood psik resha has nothing to do with the kavana. Psik resha is just a question of whether it's your maisa or not. And as soon as it's definitely going to happen as a result of what you did, then it is your maisa. So it says the Ramah that very nice, you might not know whether the guy cooked his basam khalaf, but if he did, then when you raise the flame, you're definitely cooking his basam khalaf. And therefore, the Ramah understands that is called a psik resha, and that is going to be awesome. You were talking about the Nichele, so actually Rav Chanan Wasserman says it's the same question. There's a Tosfos in Ksuvos which says that if you don't want this definite result, then it's not called a psik resha. So again, Rav Chanan explains, he says that if you understand that the idea of psik resha is because you become a mechavein, because you want, because you have intention for the result, so then you can understand, says Rav Chanan, that if it's loy Nichele, if you don't want the result, so then you can still say that you're not mechaven. It's still a raya that you don't have intention for this result because you don't want the result. However, if the psik resha has nothing to do with your intention, it's just a question of whether it's your maisa or not, so then it doesn't help you that it's loy nichele. The fact that you don't want the result, that doesn't change the definition of your maisa. Okay, shkare, thank you very much.
Mine got interrupted from time to time.
Yours also?
Yeah, there was a time because the Wi-Fi was slow. I think so. Even my machine was slow.
But yesterday,
it was barely, it's limited and called a may reduce, you know, it was still working.
It's
very annoying, but
you can't just switch it off, you know, until you get rid of the window.
Yeah.
I can't switch it off, it's ridiculous.
And the